Moika.
Hey,
welcome to our podcast, Mastering Finland.
I'm Jean and I'm from California.
I'm Petra and I'm from the Czech Republic.
We're here to chat about our life in Finland.
Hello, welcome back to Mastering Finland. And today I would like to welcome Danielle. She's a postpartum doula who lived in Finland during her school years and now she returned back to Finland to continue her story. Welcome, Danielle.
Hi. Thanks for having
me. How are you today?
I'm really good. Really good. Thank you.
Good to hear. We are recording on a Sunday. Snowy, still snowy Sunday, but let's see what's going to happen with the melting.
Yeah, it's been now plus degrees, so yeah. It's getting to the slushy phase, which is not that great.
Yeah, nobody likes that. But well, at least we had some snow,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. We love
that. That's positive. Yeah. All right, so could you tell us a bit about your background story and where you're originally from? Where else did you live before moving back to Finland?
Yeah, of course.
And when did you move back to Finland as well?
So the story is, it's quite an interesting one. I've had quite a long relationship with Finland. I was born in Israel. Both my parents are Israeli, and we were moving around quite a bit. We started off living in Copenhagen when I was 7 until age 10. Then we returned to Israel, and then we actually moved here as a family when I was 12. So I was at the International School of Helsinki for 6 years between age 12 and 18, and that's where I graduated from high school. And then I decided to move back to Israel, even though my parents had moved to Amsterdam the same summer. So I moved alone and I lived with my grandmother in Israel for some time. I did my bachelor's degree in psychology. I served in the Israeli military in organizational psychology. I met my boyfriend, who's now my husband. We got married in Israel. And the funny situation or the funny story is that he's also Finnish.
Oh, what?
And we had to go to Israel to meet each other.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Exactly. And then a bit after that, we moved to Amsterdam, which is where I did my master's degree in organizational psychology. It's where I got pregnant. It's where I gave birth to my daughter, who is now 10 months old. And then we thought we wanted to move back to Finland a bit, which is where his family lives. Mm-hmm. So we moved back in August of 2020. Yeah, the baby was 4 months old then. And since then, we've been here.
Yeah.
Even before moving, I'm the kind of person that I like to find my social circles and my groups before. So even before moving, I found this podcast.
Yay!
And yeah, it was really great. And I joined some, doula collective and this kind of groups and immediately started looking for my people.
Yeah, that's great. That's really amazing. And I think everybody should do that.
Yeah, that's something I also really try and work with my clients when building their own 21st century village. But we'll talk about that a bit later.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of summarized in the term the third culture child, third culture kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
That's amazing. And a really interesting story. But as you said, you mentioned the third culture child. Could you just quickly tell us what does it mean, the third culture child?
Yeah, from the way I feel it and the way I understand the term, it's about growing up in a culture that really isn't your own, but nor your host. So I didn't grow up in Israel, but I wasn't Finnish either. So it's this kind of in-between culture. And I think it has a lot of beauty and a lot of challenges. So you can feel at home anywhere, but also nowhere.
Yeah,
at
that is
same
true.
Time. So I grew up feeling like Israel wasn't necessarily my home, but at the same time, is Denmark my home? Is Finland my home? Is Netherlands my home? So these are the kind of feelings that a third culture kid, or at least me, carry within us. At the same time, it makes you, or I feel like it's made me adaptable and quick to build social networks, as I mentioned just before, which I really think is one of my strengths as a person and also as a postpartum doula.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense. And it is a difference if you are a person who lived only in one country and then you just decide to move and you've never done that before. Mm.
Scary.
Yeah, or if you sort of traveled, so the moving itself is not like, okay, yeah, well, I did it before a few times, so it's another time to add. But of course, as you said, it has both positives and negatives.
Of course, like anything.
Like anything, exactly. Yeah. So let's get to your job. So you're a postpartum doula, and as I said in the introduction, so could you please explain what doula is and what sort of tasks doula does?
Yeah. So I just want to make a quick distinction between birth doula and postpartum doula. So often when we hear the term doula, many of us think of a birth doula. And a birth doula is the one that is physically with the couple, with the woman, during the birth itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I do. I'm the postpartum bit. So that means that I join the family and the woman, the mother, after the birth. So in order to explain what a postpartum doula, I'd love to just sort of paint you a little picture. Let's take you or one of our listeners. Imagine you just had the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling so tired. Everything is new. The baby's crying. Your relationship's changing. The identity is changing. You know, you're figuring it all out. It's all very new. And then what I usually do is I come in. I usually find the mother on the sofa or in bed because she's most likely feeding, because babies eat quite often. And then one of the things I do is I come in, I light a candle, I put some essential oils on, I make the environment feel super cozy, which is something the mom won't necessarily always do for herself because she doesn't have the mind for it or the time. And then I go and I check in with the mom, ask, how's your day going? How's your week been? Depending on when we last met. So this immediately allows her to have sort of a listening ear, someone who is there to listen and see her. I ask, what do you want from my visit today? Maybe she wants to shower and I can hold the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's hungry. So I go on. She hasn't eaten breakfast yet. So I go and I make her a really lovely, let's say, warm porridge while she's resting in bed or feeding the baby, or even if she wants to come and sit and talk to me. I've also gone to the supermarket for the families before if they need some stuff. And then I'd also tell her what I want from our meeting today, because sometimes in the new days and weeks of motherhood, the mind is really foggy. And at least I remember from my own experience, I was like walking around aimlessly and I needed someone to tell me, okay, now you sit and eat. So I also try and convey to the mom what I would like to have from our meeting today, from my visit. And then also, if there are older children in the house, if this is a second time or third time mom, then another thing, a postpartum doula, or what I would do, is spend time with the older children so that the mom can be with the young baby, or the mom can rest, or, you know, these kind of other tasks that need to be done. Also, when the baby sleeps, I can support the mother to let her sleep, or I can sort of give her a kind of a body rub or a neck rub, a head massage kind of treatment. That's another thing that we do. I also offer her guided meditation. We can talk about the birth story. Another thing I support is her breastfeeding. If that's something that she wants and the family wants, then I can look how that's going, refer her to a consultant if I see that anything is kind of challenging for her. I also love to offer my network and resources. So for example, if I know of a great physiotherapist and the mother is experiencing some pelvic floor trouble and difficulty, I can refer her to resources. And I have my own sort of Helsinki resources PDF file, which I will also have on my website, that you can download between the months of March and April, so that people can really just find the resources that I love to recommend.
Yeah, wow. That's an amazing thing that you are doing it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really passionate about it.
Because, you know, I think people who, like me, who want a child maybe at some point, but now I'm just, you know, me and my boyfriend and that's it. And then you don't think about stuff like that until it happens, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something that sort of you notice when it hits you in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that, but at the same point, when you mentioned all the tasks that you do for the family or for the mom, then it feels like it's so important, because I've been close to people who've given birth and who had babies, and that sounds exactly like something that they needed or they would have needed.
I definitely think that it is something you need, but at the same time, I also find that families who haven't necessarily experienced it yet sometimes have a hard time understanding the importance of it.
Yeah.
And many times that's because the focus is so much on the birth itself.
That is true.
And in our culture, very often we focus on the birth, and also the fear of the birth has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
So the mind kind of stops at that moment.
Mm.
While the birth is such an important event, it's only the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the beginning of life with a baby, and many moms will come home and say, "What? Nobody told me about this part." You know, nobody told me I'd feel so tired and sometimes alone. I've heard some comments like, "I never knew I could feel alone with a baby."
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had a baby with me all the time. Why should I feel alone? But that's something that can happen. And I think it's so important to have realistic expectations of what motherhood and early motherhood, because it does change and evolve. And the challenges will not be the same in later motherhood stages than they are in the first months.
Mm.
So it's important to understand those challenges and understand the reality of it so that you can ease into it without freaking out that, are you weird or is this normal?
Yeah. But it's really good because you also do content on Instagram, right? Related to things like that. And I've seen so many tips and hints on what to do when, like, after the birth, and then what are the first things that you should do. And it really is nice that you also offer this sort of type of content.
Yeah.
And the more we will see this sort of content, the more normal it will become, as it is with anything, really.
Yeah, it's definitely part of that sort of revolution. It's the postpartum revolution. And I feel really privileged to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's an amazing job.
Because honestly, the shift to motherhood is a massive, massive life event. And it really is a rite of a passage that is sometimes hard to grasp what it means before you go through it. I mean, I don't think I fully understood it before, and I had already done my training to be a postpartum doula before I gave birth.
Yeah.
So I also offer free workshop for expecting couples once a month online to talk a little bit about what is to come. And that's from my understanding of how hard it can be to grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that if people are interested to join, they can look up on my website when the next one is. But it's every month online for free.
Wow, that's amazing. It is quite rare occupation, even though you're saying that it's becoming like a sort of more of a movement and there is probably more people with such a job. But it's still like, I don't know any people except you now who would be doing such a job.
Yeah.
So how did you decide to become a postpartum doula?
Yeah. Well, for me, it started with psychology. As I mentioned before, like my formal education and my psychology degree is in that field.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always had a passion for the pregnancy journey, for birth, for parenting. And I knew that I didn't really want to go into clinical psychology. I didn't want to be dealing with the pathology of things and like with mental illness in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the idea of combining my passion for psychology and well-being and the journey of parenthood. So for me, this was like, wow, I found my dream job. And how I came across it was really through podcasts.
Wow.
Surprisingly or funnily enough. Because when I was living in the Netherlands, I was doing an internship, which I wasn't really having such a great time with. And because I was biking there, it's in the Netherlands, of course, I was biking.
Yeah.
I was using my Bluetooth headphones and discovered podcasts and was just consuming information without stop every time I had the chance to. And that really opened up a whole new world of knowledge that I just didn't know where to access before.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step was for me to reach out for doulas in my area. I found out that there's a doula training in Amsterdam, and I went to the open day, but that was for birth doulas, as I mentioned, the distinction. And I had left that open day really feeling like my passion was on the postpartum and on the well-being of mothers after they give birth. Not to underestimate the power and the importance of birth and the way we give birth really matters. And I've also become a really, really passionate birth advocate and activist. But I feel like my passion is really under the understanding how the parents' behavior impacts the relationship with the kids and the belief that mothers are really the foundation of our society.
Yeah.
And wanting to allow moms to develop their identity as a mom in a healthy way. Because when moms are well, then society is well and, you know, much, much stronger.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's really a gaping hole in our culture, I feel, especially from what I heard here in Finland. Also, a lot of women and mothers who I've talked to say that after the birth, you are sent home and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
And you can kind of deal with it on your own. And the Neuvola is very much caring for the baby, but nobody really is asking how the mother is. And there's kind of an undervaluing for the work of the mom. And that is what the postpartum revolution is all about, to bring back the value to the moms. Because it's not like that in all cultures.
Yeah.
There are some traditional cultures, for example, Indian and Chinese, just to name a few, where there are rituals in place to support the new mother. And those are called traditional postpartum rituals, which are fascinating to learn more about because they really have in place guidelines of what to do after the birth of a mom. When we don't know what to do, they have it kind of prescribed in the culture.
Hmm. Yeah. Especially like in Finland, because there are not many immigrants for a long time. And I guess the support was with like grandparents or like your own mother. But then nowadays when, you know, the whole world is becoming more multicultural and people are moving around, then not everybody has necessarily this, you know, advantage as having a mother living in Finland with her,
yes,
with her or other grandparents that could sort of help out.
Yeah.
So that's definitely when like your services come in hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely very helpful for these expat families. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we already mentioned a bit what sort of services you're offering to the mother, and then you also have these free sort of online consultations for couples.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you are personally offering as a service to your clients?
Well, what you mentioned is true, and then I'll just summarize it up so it's clear everything. There are three main services that I can support and I'd love to give. One of them is face-to-face and sort of local to Finland, where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two are also possible online. So as I mentioned in the beginning, the in-home care, which is where I'm actually visiting the mother and the family at home. I love to get to know the family already in pregnancy so that we can talk a little bit about how the family wants the first weeks to look like. And then after the birth, I come over usually for a time of 6 weeks minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also do more if the mother and the family want. And then the mother joins continuous support from a group perspective. So she can join my online mother circles, which happen every week and are actually already happening every week on Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one service. That's the in-home postpartum care. And that's face-to-face. Then the online service I give is postpartum planning sessions. And that's for expecting couples who want to go into a deeper conversation and are aware that they need a postpartum plan in addition to a birth plan. Because as we said, birth is the beginning. So here I offer topics for conversation. And really, I have sort of a handout and a note, like a booklet of what are the emotions you can expect? How do we handle visitors or help? How do we make sure mom can rest? Where do we find community support? How do we arrange food? How is our relationship going to change? What about caring for the baby? And more things like that. This service doesn't include in-home care, and as I mentioned, it can be done online.
Mm-hmm.
That's the postpartum planning. And the second one, which is online, and the last one I will mention here, is birth story listening. And that's for families who have already gone through birth, and we talk about the experience. We can debrief it together. We go into the birth story experience, and if, you know, there is a story that needs healing or an experience that needs to be talked over and understood better. What was triggering for the mother and why? When was she feeling weak? When was she feeling strong? So even if the birth is not a birth that needs healing, it sometimes can be really, really therapeutic to just talk about the experience and have someone really listen to what you went through. Because as I said in previous comments, that birth is a huge life event.
Mm.
And the way we give birth does matter also to our motherhood experiences. And that's why I love to give this service as well.
Amazing. There are quite a few initiatives, right, that you're part of in Helsinki, and in, I guess, in it's a worldwide, some of them. So what sort of initiatives are you part of?
The first one I can mention is the Positive Birth Movement. And this is an international movement that actually started in the UK, mm-hmm. but there are over 300 groups globally that are linked up by social media. And the movement was started because of the understanding that there's a lot of fear around birth and that many women are not currently having positive birth experiences. I first came into contact with it when I was living in Amsterdam, and I joined the meeting as a birth professional and as a pregnant woman myself. And I wanted to bring it here the moment we decided that we're moving. Mm-hmm. So I went on their website and I applied to be the facilitator of the Helsinki Positive Birth Movement. And indeed, we opened the first meetup in October.
Nice.
So we meet once a month. Every month we have different themes. For example, we had one theme is my birth choices. Then we're talking about making a birth plan. We can talk about how my birth room looks like, induction, oxytocin, all these topics that come up every month. So the idea of the Positive Birth Movement is that it's a peer support group. Mm-hmm. It's not a course. We don't bring any like expert to talk about a topic. We really discuss, and whatever comes up from the group members is where the conversation goes. So it's targeted at expecting parents, new parents, and birth professionals. So sometimes we even have moms who join when they're pregnant, and then they come back after they gave birth, and they may share their birth story with us if they like. So it's about, it's about gaining knowledge and learning about your choices and your options, and that you have choices to begin with. And I think it also focuses a lot on the fact that a positive birth is a birth where you know your options, you can be part of decision making, you can feel like you have autonomy. Mm-hmm. The foundation for that is knowing your options. That's what it rests upon. And if anybody's interested in joining the Positive Birth Movement in Helsinki, we have a Facebook group, and you can just search that on Facebook and find the group and be updated on when the next meetup is.
Great.
Yeah. So that's that one, which has the international flavor, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And another thing I've been taking part of, which super, super excited to share with you, is joining a doula collective, which is called the Nest Helsinki International Doulas Plus is our full name. We are six also international women, so this also has an international flavor. I'll quickly mention the names of these lovely ladies, and I'll try and get their names right. So we have Rosalia Pihlayasari, who is Italian and South African. We have Chloe Bernard, who's French. Anna Suarez, who's Russian. Sonia Yani Lohivori, who's Slovak and Czech.
Oh, nice.
And we have Maria Fernandez, who's Spanish. And of course, myself, who I'm originally from Israel, as I mentioned. So those are the six of us. And the reason we decided to get together was that we really know what it's like to have family here as expats and what it's like to, you know, give birth as international women. And we realized that there are many families who would really, really enjoy having our support. Between us, we have 11 kids, 42 years of living in Finland, and 46 years of professional experience as birth professionals. And I think as the six of us, we provide services from preconception, and if you trouble with conceiving, to loss support, if there's been a miscarriage or stillbirth or any kind of loss. We also have this in our skills set. Together we can provide childbirth education, hypnobirthing, birth doula services, prenatal and postpartum yoga. Wow. We have lactation consultancy, baby wearing consultancy, the in-home postpartum support, as I mentioned, that I do that. We also have a maternal mental health specialist among us, and also some of us that are trained in massage. So that's really a wide, wide range of services that our collective can provide. And I really feel like the strength of the Nest, which is the reason why we chose this name, is that it's a warm, understanding, caring, nurturing space that can sometimes feel like it's missing. Mm-hmm. You know, you sometimes feel so alone in the system, and especially when there's no face to the system.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel like need help, you need to dial a number, and you go through one phase, then another phase, another phase. And here we are your people, and we don't want you to ever feel alone. And that's what was one of the reasons we founded this collective. And we are also on Instagram, if you want to find us there. We are at The Nest Doulas. And we also have a website, which is doulacollective.fi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I already like see myself using your services when I finally decide to set everything aside and work on having a baby. But it sounds really amazing.
When you're ready.
Exactly. But it is something that I've been thinking a lot about, and that, you know, I don't have my mom here or father. My boyfriend also, he's from the UK. He doesn't have his parents here. Okay, we have some friends, but it's not like you can, you know, really destroy the lives of friends because you are having a baby and they have to, like, you know, be there with you all the time. This is, you know, to an extent probably, but still there is this gap that is missing, and it feels like, how are we going to manage that because we are in this situation? And I know many other, you know, foreigners who managed and who've been managing, but it's a hardcore job.
It really is.
From what I've seen, yeah.
And I can understand your hesitation with the fact of you not having the parents. And I can add to that, that if you are already thinking of maybe having a family here, then already try and find your resources, as I mentioned a little bit in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So where are the people, who are the friends that I can make, and where do I find other mothers? You know, where do I find this help? Kella is offering some help for families who don't have parents here, mm-hmm. like the grandparents. You know, what are my resources? What are my options? Do I have great neighbors that could be my help? Because, you know, for example, I live in a building that has at least 100 people living here. Like, I'm not alone. I just need to make these connections,
yeah.
and these relationships happen.
I guess Finland is the hardcore when it comes to neighbors.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, like, silent tiptoeing. I haven't met half of my neighbors yet, and I've been living here for like 6 months.
Yeah. But I don't know about you, but I have also some internationals living in my building.
Yeah, I don't really. No? It's okay. Finnish, fully Finnish. Well, there is one nice lady that she always smiles, and she has a dog, and she always says hello to me, and I meet her very often, and I even talk to her yeah. in Finnish.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was nice.
That's better than what I can do.
So that was good. So she's like this sort of like, we are always saying that if something really happened, that probably she's the one we would go to, because yeah. otherwise we have not met even the other people. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Finland is the difficult one to crack.
Yeah.
And add on that, on top of that, the restrictions of the current COVID situation, which make things a little more difficult and has had massive impact on the mental health of mothers. And it's just so difficult for me to watch this happening. So I think we are, though, quite privileged in Finland with the restrictions, and you are comfortable with it.
Yeah, that is true.
My personal decision is sometimes to, you know, care for my mental health, even if it means seeing people outside 2 meters distance and wearing a mask. But really, I encourage people to think of what this is doing to their mental health, especially with new babies.
Yeah.
We need each other. We really need each other. And moms need each other, perhaps even more.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, you can have many, many calls on Zoom or whatever, like video calls, but it's never the same as when you can speak to a person in person.
Yeah, it's the change of environment, getting out of your home, getting ready. But having said that, I do recognize the challenge of leaving the house with a young baby. And that is why I do offer my online mother circles. Even after the restrictions pass, I still will probably keep it online because I saw for myself what a great opportunity that was. When I was 2 weeks postpartum, I could join these mother circles and talk about my feelings, and I would not have left the house with a 2-week-old baby. That's my personal decision. I've heard of moms who left with a 2-week-old baby, but for me, it felt like too much. You know, organizing her, getting her ready, being on time when my brain was still so so foggy. So I really appreciated having the online accessibility.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I want to keep it online.
That is great. So when can people find your content? We talked about Instagram already, and possibly contact you maybe if they are interested in your services.
Yeah, great question. So as you mentioned, I do share every day on Instagram and on Facebook. And on Instagram, I'm at mothers_transition. And on Facebook, I'm Mothers Transition Together. And you can find everything else also on my website, which is motherstransition.com. And if anybody really wants to just send a message, then direct messaging on Instagram, or I have contact details also on the website. And I'm just always happy to connect and hear your story and, you know, listen to where you are in your journey and support in any way I can.
Amazing. We will, of course, all the links you mentioned, even to the Nest and everything, we will put under this episode so you can find them there, also in our blog post on our website. So just so you know, you don't have to like remember to type in just to find it under the recording, and it will be all there. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to add, you know, the drive home the point that the transition to motherhood is really a journey. And I just said it, that it's never meant to be walked alone. I mean, I don't want to be scaring anyone about how hard or difficult or, you know, horrible it is to be a mother, because it's not. But I do really believe in creating realistic expectations, and that realistic expectation, like of what emotions might come up in those early days, what life with a newborn is, how often they're going to be eating. As I said, most of the day you're on the sofa feeding, and that's totally normal. And by having these realistic expectations, we can rest assured that it will pass. And I mentioned this a little bit before. I also want to bring in one word that I didn't have the chance to mention yet, and that's matrescence. Have you heard of this word before?
I don't think so.
Matrescence is a wonderful word because it helps put in a nutshell what the transition to motherhood is like. So I love explaining it in correlation to the word adolescence. You've heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We all have. We all have, which is why I love to talk about matrescence, because we need to get this word out there and into public, you know, into everyday use. Matrescence is like adolescence in the sense that in adolescence, we go from being a child to being an adult, a teenager, a woman, from a girl to a woman. And matrescence is the same transition from going being a maiden, which is a woman, to a mother. And it's the same hormonal changes that the adolescent feels. And it's the same emotional outbreaks that the adolescent feels. And it's the same identity crisis that the adolescent feels. Same change in relationships. You know, you name it. And it applies to matrescence.
Yeah.
And it's such a great word to help us figure out what we're feeling and to normalize again what we're feeling, so we can relax knowing it's normal, surrendering to the experience instead of resisting it. This is something that also really helped me. And then I also want to just mention about gathering the community, which I said, craving each other and moms, that, you know, we really feel it strongly as moms. And it is possible to feel lonely even when you have this other person, the baby, with you. So if you are feeling a little bit unwell or the slightest bit off, just want to say to our listeners that please don't hesitate to contact me or the Neuvola when you're at that moment. Because I often hear moms saying, do I need this help? Maybe others have it worse off than me. But you are worth the help. And, you know, we all are. This is, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And there's a saying that a mother who is unwell is a mother who her community has failed her.
Mm.
It's not you. It's never you. It's not us. You know, it's not something that's wrong with you personally. It's something that's not well with the system. So reach out and gather your resources so that you can feel heard and recognized in this massive transition to motherhood.
Yeah, that's an amazing ending. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure. And for all those listeners who listen, thank you for listening. You can find all the links added to this episode, and we will hear you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website, masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye.